Hi, welcome. Thank you so much for stopping by the Speaker's Corner. We're really excited to kick off our first panel, as well as thank our sponsor, Montreal Tourism Board. Our first panel is What's a Pet Gnat and Why Should I Drink It? And our moderator is Sam Benrubi, host of Grape Nation on Heritage Radio Network, and I'll turn it over.
Welcome again, everyone, to the first Speaker's Corner. And I'm very impressed that everyone is here on time because you had to set your clock. And I almost missed this by an hour, so it's a good thing. Our talk today is What's a Pet Gnat and Why Should I Drink It? And that's really how we're going to approach it. We want to tell you a little about what a pet gnat is. It definitely has its own thing. And why should I drink it? I think we have a very qualified panel to tell you that. I'm going to introduce our global panel, and this panel spans from the Finger Lakes to the country of Georgia to Spain. So instead of me doing intros on everybody, I'm just going to go down the table, and I want each of you just to spend a minute or so to tell everyone who you are and just a little about the winery, okay?
Hello, nice to meet you here. Thank you for coming. I'm from Georgia, Republic of Georgia. It was former of Soviet Union. Now we are independent country, just 20 years. And before all the one century, we were a closed country with the big gate around us. And because of that, our varieties of the grapes and our wines are not so well known. But slowly we are coming back.
So where is the winery?
Winery is in down Kartli. This is the region close to the capital of Georgia.
Tbilisi,
yeah. The vineyard is in a national park of the Algeti, which is based in elevation is around 550 meters from the sea level. And the Georgia is the mountain country, and the winery is it's located close to vineyard, around 10 kilometers from the rural road, and the elevation is 1,300 meters. My idea was to make this winery not in vineyard, but in my house in the mountains for the big temperature difference. It's around 8-10 degrees, you know, in the summer. And it's quite good when you are producing and when you are making the natural wines. The thing what we can only do with our wines is to control the fermentation temperature, control the mallow, and control the aging with temperatures. And in the mountains, in my cellar, I don't need any chiller or cooling systems or such things because the temperature in the winter is quite low, and in the summer is quite cool also.
So you use the natural
wine? Yeah. I'm producing wine in the Quevris. It's the buried clay amphora.
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. Let me introduce everybody.
Okay.
Because you're one of the few people. Okay. All right, Manel?
Good morning, guys. My name is Manel Avino. I am a producer, grower and producer of the south from Barcelona, 30 kilometers to the south of Barcelona, working with local grapes. My family always was working till the 14th century. And we had a little stop making bubbles to my grandfather. My father never did, and I did again in 1981. Now we will taste our sparkling, natural sparkling wines, Pet Gnats. Well aged. This is our deal today. Thank you.
Okay. And finally, Kim and Deborah.
Okay. Deborah Birmingham. Kim and I planted and began Bloomer Creek Vineyard in the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, I'm afraid to admit, pushing 35, 40 years ago. We planted in two different sites in the Finger Lakes. We have 12 acres on the east side of Seneca Lake, and 10 acres on the west side of Cayuga Lake. And that is fun for us since we are the growers and the winemakers. We get to really truly show the effects of terroir and the site and we have been making natural wine essentially forever, but 100% officially since 2006. And I came to winemaking via my art career and meeting up with this guy. And he basically said, come here, I want to grow grapes and make wine, when he was a young lad, and here we are.
I tricked her.
Not really. All right, so let's get right into it. I think we should tell everyone what a pet nat is. So Manel, if I ask you, what is a pet nat, what is a pet nat?
For me, the pet nat is a magic drink. And then when I was very young, I began to study how them to make the bubbles. And the pet nat, for me, is the pureness, the essence. You are bottling a part of your land, is a photo of your landscape. And it's very nice because you can work without sulfates. And all of the pet nats in the world are different because they can mark very well the kind of the lands they are made.
Deborah, Kim?
There's no better answer than that.
Okay.
You
agree?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
we can't top that.
All right, now you mentioned a word, and it's a very important thing that relates to pet nats, and it's part of the name, Petalant Naturel. What makes a pet nat natural versus a sparkling wine, a cava, a Prosecco champagne? Why is Petalant Naturel natural?
The pet nat, I think all the wines, if somebody is making the wine in the natural basis and we don't use any additives in the wine and any fining methodics, you know, the wine will be natural. But plus, it's very important, it's the vineyard. All the pet nats or the wines are beginning in the vineyard. If you have a very healthy, nice place where you can show to the people your terroir and your roots and your heart of the family. One of these is the pet nat. It gives you a possibility because plus it's, you know, it's bubbles and it's something new for me. Because in Georgia, there was no tradition of the producing of pet nat, but our great-grandfathers, they tried to do it, but in a more rural, the Petion, it's the same, yeah? It's the Petion Natural means that it's the sparkling wine made in the family, made in the home, in the house. It's not a product which is made in industrial ways. And when you are champagne, for example, you need it's more difficult. Pet nat is easy. You are regulating the residual sugar, and then you close the bottle, and these crazy, very healthy yeasts are doing their job inside of the bottle. That's all, you know. And it's of course it's natural because this grade of the CO gas, it gives you this possibility to don't use any sulfur later after degordage. And you have all aromas of your vineyard grapes and the variety of the grapes in the bottle. It's secured, it's closed. And then after 1 year, I'm leaving my pet nat a minimum 1 year on the lease. It gives its more round test, it gives more aromatic test, and after 1 year, when you are making the degordage, you are getting the really, really very natural wine with all this freshness and there is no oxidation, you know, and no oxidation gives you very, very high aromatic levels and the freshness.
So Manel, there's natural, organic, biodynamic. The practices take place in the field and in the cellar. Mm-hmm. So how do you manage all of that?
Well, the manage is easy if you don't have a big estate. We only have 20 hectares. You are four people working there, people who are connected with our lands, because you need to be very, very observator to understand when the disease wants to come to the vineyard. And only that, to be observating all the times your vineyard, try to understand what the vineyard is telling you, and always only tell one thing from another question is the pet nat is the bubbles who can do the nice grower, because you need to be very, very cautious with your lands. Don't spray copper, don't spray sulfates who are killing your yeast, the yeast who will ferment your bottles after.
Does your climate Do you have a challenging climate, or it's easy to grow grapes?
Well, with
is there moisture, mold, or?
We are lucky because we have an old vines from 100 years old, and they are well adapted to our lands, and they resist very well the climate change, and the place is a nice place without the humidity because we have the wind who comes to the sea, and we only have with the oidium but not the mildium.
So Kim and Deborah, your climate, probably of the three, is the most challenging.
Yes, you should
explain why and what you have to do and the challenges to remain natural.
Our climate is challenging in a number of ways. It's almost too cold for the European grape varieties that these gentlemen are growing and now we are growing. In winter, it's often too cold and we get damage from cold. But the biggest challenge is becoming too much moisture in summer. The summers are becoming increasingly humid, and that creates real disease problems for the grapes that we grow.
How do you address that?
Pray.
You pray, okay. All right. So let's talk about how a pet mat is made. I'm positive there's a similar process, but each of you do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. We'll come to Becca last because he makes his in Caveri's, which he'll explain. But before we get into that, we're pouring everyone's pet mats. And if I can get up to speed, what are we pouring right now? Do we know? Number two? Okay. And number one was what? Do we remember?
The Chinori.
Will you just quickly tell us what the number one pet mat was?
Chinori.
Chinori is the grape?
It's a grape variety. We are also very lucky with Georgians because we have around 220 varieties of the grapes for winemaking in our country. They are not well known because of the, I told you, our history. But now the Chinori was the grape where our great-grandfather, my great-grandfather, was using it to make not the pet nat, but very low pressure bubbles in the tanks, because there was very small residual sugar. Chinori gives you this possibility to leave very small quantity of the residual sugar when you will finish the fermentation, and when they open the quevris in a Easter time, for example, late spring, they get the same very very small, but the bubbles inside, you know, and this. This region was very famous of it. I told you that there was no tradition of this making of the pet nuts here in Georgia, but now it's growing up, you know, because of the really, it's funny plus, you know, and I think it's very old technology, but it's modern. It's modern for me. My profession is the architect. I'm not a winemaker from the education, and my philosophy of my life is to make something new in my life. And this is now my new church, how I tell it, my new building, you know, of the making of this.
All right, so let's talk about how it's made.
Yeah,
so
let me
ask Manel,
yeah.
All right, because everyone makes, I want to come to you last, because you make it different than everyone. Manel, how is Pet Nat made? I mean, people look at it as a sparkling wine. How does it vary from champagne? You know, basically, what's the process?
In my area, was not historically was not the Pet Nat was the Méthode Champenoise. The cava in the 19th century was the beginnings, like Pippi Raventós and his family. But the Pet Nat gives to the young people who want to begin to do sparkling wines is easy. To begin with only with a few things. It's a simple, only take care. The main is the vineyard, always. But you don't need a very big invest to do the pet nat. This is the best. This is one of the reasons the young people, the people who wants to work in green, be respectuous with the lands, is working with pet nat.
So champagne is basically made with three grapes. Pet Nat, you could use any grape from
it, right?
You
can imagine, like the
Beetle Sun. And all of you use different grapes and all of that. So what about the process? I mean, the wine is in the bottle.
The process is for us is very easy. We recuperate the damigen. I don't know if you know what is the damigen. Damigen is a glass bottle with 55 liters each one. Was very typical in our families when the people pick the wine in the wineries, and the iron steel tanks, because we want to respect a lot the fruit who obtain of the grapes. And try to fill the bottles with this fruit fermenting. When we have 26 grams per liter at the last of the fermentation, we use the crown cap and we age.
And it's fermented once. It's fermented once. In the bottle. With a crown cap.
With a crown cap. Beer. Yes.
Now, Deborah and Kim, similar.
Well, I would like actually just to clarify from being a painter, that making a pétillon naturel is, I can do it. You take a bottle of wine that is still fermenting, and when it is roughly at 1.5% residual sugar, that it will end up being dry, you put a crown cap on, a beer cap, and what happens is the yeast is still actively eating the grape sugar in the wine. It's not added sugar, it's actually just the flavor of the sweet grape juice. And as the yeast continues to eat the grape sugar, the byproduct of that fermentation is CO2. And because you have the crown cap on the bottle, the CO2 can't escape, and that's what puts naturally the effervescence in the wine. So just in case you're feeling that it's a little daunting, it is not. Even
so
a visual artist can make that.
Quickly, the difference between a pet nat and a champagne.
Okay.
You brought us to the end of the process.
Okay. Kim will tell you that.
Method Champenois, your starting point would be finished wine. There's some tradition of blending across vintages in champagne. So when you have the finished wine that you want to make champagne from, you then start a culture with very strong cultured yeast, a measured amount of sugar, and quite often yeast nutrients, and add that back to the tank, and that will begin the fermentation in the tank of finished wine. You put that in a bottle and let that finish. But it's a more controlled process than the process that we use.
Yes or no question. Harder to make pet nat or champagne? Is it as easy as yes or no?
Is it easier what way?
Is it harder to make champagne than a pet nat?
I don't know. I don't make a champagne.
Okay, that's fair. Same thing. Well, you make a lot of sparkling wine.
Yes.
So what's harder?
Well, I think it's more arriesgado. I don't know in English.
Involved.
Yeah.
Involved to be a pet nat because you have more things you can control, like you tell.
You agree, Deborah?
Well, yes, but I would like to say that comparing them in terms of one is more or less difficult is like comparing apples and oranges.
Right.
Because I don't see them as being the same.
They're not, but people see sparkling wine out there, and they just want
a
perspective.
I think that because of how you make them, it's like preparing chicken in 1,000 different ways.
Right.
Yes, right. But the moment you have the wine to be a second fermentation, you can control all the volatile acidity, all the things you want to control, and if you don't you don't bottle. But the pet nat, at the moment you bottle, it's bottled.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Plus you need the syrup or something. You need the sugar. You must add the sugar.
Yes.
When you are adding the yeast, I need to eat something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Becca, we're talking about making a pet nat. You're the only maker who makes their pet nats in a caveri?
Yes.
Is that how? Explain what a caveri is.
Caveri is the clay amphora, which is buried under the ground. This is a traditionally UNESCO gave it now the name of the caveri that is traditionally comes from Georgia only. Maybe in the European countries, in the Greece, Italy, Spain, Portuguese, they use the amphoras which are up of the soil, up of the ground. We dig it inside of the ground because of the temperature control. Caveri, which is digged in the ground, gives you possibility to control temperature very easily. Only it's not very good for the fermentation process. If you are fermenting wines with skins and with stems and so on, sometimes temperature can go up, you know, and you must mix it very quickly, you know, 3, 4, 5 times. But the what is the goal of the pet nut? This must be very cool fermentation. Even if it's the red grapes, cool fermentation, because it's no skin contact in my situation, all the juice, the grape juice, it's red or it's white, I'm not using the maceration. We are making very gently pressing. It's free run, if you understand what is the free run. It's we crush the grapes, you put in a big gasket, and all this juice is coming out. And then we put it in the cuvée, and for us, for the making of pet nut, cuvée is the barrel. You can make it in a stainless steel, you can make it even in a oak barrel, you know.
What characteristics do clay cuvées
offer
to the wine? I mean, you know, oak has an impact on wine.
Yeah, it's the legend. Of course, it's the legend. It's the 8,000 years. It's the clay. It's the natural. For your
is it
story.
Is it somewhat neutral, the effect that cuvée has on the wine?
No. It's the natural, because it's waxed by beeswax, and there is no oxygenation, there is nothing. Only what you must do, how I'm making. When we press the grapes, after one day, all these very heavy leaves goes down. The cuvée form is in the bottom is very thin, and then it's easy to take the clean juice from these heavy leaves. Because this heavy leaves is
explain the what leaves are. Tell everyone what a lees
is. When you are harvesting the grapes, maybe in the boxes you will get some wood, some leaves, some soil. You know, it's not as sterile working. Yeah, you are working normally. And in one day, all these heavy leaves goes down. We will wreck then this clean juice. It's not. It doesn't begin fermentation in one day, and then. Most of the goal is the cool fermentation for me. It must be not more than 70 degrees. This is giving to the wine then the elegant aromas, and the wine keeps all these grape variety aromas and all those things. The chemics of the pet nut is that every 4 gram of the sugar gives you 1 atmosphere of the pressure. It's the chemistry. And if you have you tell us that usually you must have a residual sugar 2.6% or 26 gram per liter, or somebody is making with 15 gram per liter. It depends how much bubbles you need. But plus it's very dangerous, because if you will bottle your juice and when the sugar will be around 40, then you are getting, you can imagine how big pressure, and then you have in your winery a lot of bumps, you know.
Explosion.
It's very dangerous.
Yes.
Because of that, one of the very important thing, after vineyard and cool fermentation and all the things, to measure residual sugar, to don't bottle it before you need or after. Don't late and don't do it earlier. That's all.
Right. Manel. There have been questions with pet nats about consistency of product, filtering, cloudiness, there's a funk to it. I think that's part of what pet nat is, but you know, if people say to you, oh, pet nats, they're cloudy or they're inconsistent, I mean, how do you respond to that?
Well,
because that's the critics, that's what they're saying about
that. In all of our pet nats, we degorge and we do the riddling process like a Méthode Champenois, because we think it's better the wine will be a little bit more clear than totally cloudy, because in this totally cloudy, sometimes it could be too much proteins, too much amino acids, monoproteins, who sometimes maybe the people like drink or not. And we decide that the first time to riddle and to degorge. And sometimes we leave only a little bit of the leaves, only to be growing again, but not totally.
So you address filtering, clouding, the product by riddling.
Our filtering is the riddling only.
You cannot filter it. It's impossible.
Right.
Then you lose your bubbles.
Right. What about, what do you guys do?
Well, I would just say the issues that you mentioned are issues with natural wine production in general.
Right.
And I think you have to hope that the audience is somewhat tolerant of lack of consistency, because the other side of that is too much manipulation, which gives you boring commercial wines. So.
Right. Kim and I, we talked earlier, and you make all kinds of wine up in the Finger Lakes, and you started making Pet Nats, and you had said to me that making Pet Nats was a fun diversion from making wine. I mean, explain what that means to you.
Our audience anyway comes to wine, probably everybody comes to wine with a set of expectations, whether you're aware of it or not. So if we pour Chardonnay in our tasting room, we will have people who say, pick it up and they taste it and they say, wow, that's not oaky. And half the people mean that as a compliment and half mean it as a criticism. But they all have an idea in their head about what it is they're going to taste because they're familiar or believe they're familiar with the subject. And now with Pet Nats for people, that never happens. People are coming to them with a fresh idea about what wine can be. No one that I've ever witnessed tasted the Pet Nat and said it is or isn't anything. People seem to have an ability to approach them with a fresh mind. And that's what makes it exciting for me, at least while they're new in the marketplace. Perhaps that will change someday. But that's what makes them both fun to make and I think fun to drink.
Right. So. Do Pet Nats age? Do they age well? Should you age them? Should you buy them a few years old? Should you hold them?
Yeah, why not?
Is there?
I don't know.
Do
I
you
don't
drink
have
them in a certain window?
My winery is always empty, you know, before. Because really, yeah, in the summer, it's I don't know, it's best when it's hot and when you have a fruit and you have a vegetable kitchen or days of cooking, you know, it's excellent. But my opinion is the very important to make a degordage. Not in the spring, where this Pet Nat is ready, and always there is a lease. And what I'm doing, I'm my Pet Nat bottles. I leave my Pet Nat bottles in a wooden boxes for 1 year horizontally. It means that all the lease is down on the bottom of the bottle, and I think there is going the maturation, because after 1 year, when I'm making the degordage, this wine is more aromatic, more round, and the lees and yeasts have a time to do their job. When you are doing it in a springtime, very early, yeah, after the harvest, then it's more, it's good, but it's more acidity and more poor taste, I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. You know?
So do you make all your Pet Nats in the cooler?
In the cooler, what do you mean?
The cooler weather? You don't do it in the spring.
No. What I'm telling you, I'm aging.
Oh.
I'm aging.
I'm sorry.
1 year, and after 1 year, we are making degordage in the spring. You must put them, these bottles, in the special shelves,
right.
French shelves, the Petules, I think the name. And then these shelves give you possibility to take the lees to the top. And then it's another very professional thing you must do is taking from the lees, which you must know how to do it. I'm doing it around 4 years, but always I'm totally dirty, and I'm on the lees on my face and my coats and everything, because it's not so easy. Of course, all when you're doing the doing of degordage of 1,000 bottles, then you are tired, and always there's some lees in the bottles which
right.
lived, you know, and for natural winemakers and for our market, it's common. Cloudy wines, it's not a problem for us.
No.
Who likes the cloudy wines? They can drink the factory champagne, you know,
right.
Don't like it. You know.
Manel, do Pet Nats age? Do you?
Yes, in fact, we will taste today a 2012 vintage.
Okay.
It's a well age.
So that's,
I think,
over six years of bottle age.
Yes.
5-6 years.
I think that the aging, it's nice from the pen. That's
what does the aging do to the wine?
Sorry.
When you age.
Yes.
When you leave it in the bottle for 5-6 years, what effect does it have?
To the wine, it's more polluted, it's more fine, more large. They keep all the fruits, but they begin to be the working the second aromas, like the aging aromas, the bouquet. It's growing.
Right. Kim, Deborah, aging.
Yeah, we're all aging.
Thank you.
I don't see any reason why they would be different from other wines. I mean, maybe the closure is the limit. I'm not really sure. I don't know how long a crown cap lasts.
Right.
But I would also like to clarify, it's been said, yeast in the bottle is a preservative. So wine left on the lees lasts longer. I think if you left more yeast in the bottle, the wine will last longer, but it will also begin to taste more yeasty. So that's all a matter of personal choice and what you expect to happen with the wine, how soon you expect it to be consumed. We don't always disgorge our pet nats. We find that people think it's exciting to have cloudy wine.
Explain what disgorging a pet nat is.
It's, as Becca was saying, it's you let the yeast settle in the neck on the crown cap and hold it upside down and pop the crown cap off. And then you have to refill it, top it off, and put another crown cap back on. But you blow most of the yeast out in that process.
Without the wine.
Right.
I'll show you. I'll show you.
Yeah, why don't you do one?
If it's the bottle.
Are you going to give a demonstration?
If it's the bottle, for example, and we have our top here, and all the yeast is there, there's a special tool to open the crown cap. But you have a bubbles of the air here, in the top, and you must put it in your leg. You must take it up. This is tool is on the crown cap, and when the air is coming up here, you must open it.
So poof,
and the yeast will come out, the lees will come out, and plus you must push, the finger.
Not to lose too much.
And when I'm making all this décolletage, what happens with my finger? You see here? I'm joking, okay.
No, but
it's very difficult, thousand times, open, poof, open, poof.
You just put your thumb down, so it all the gaps.
When you push it, all this yeast is coming to you.
Becca, when I do it, no wine comes out.
All right, so you can age pet nats. You could buy pet nats with bottle age. It's okay to buy a bottle and lay it down for a few years. What's the best way to serve a pet nat? Let's talk about temperature. I know it could vary.
Often.
Is there any glassware? Does it matter? Let's talk temperature first. What temperature would you serve a pet nat?
Yeah, no, it depends. It depends who is drinking. It's the wine. I think that, of course, there's the idea that it must be always very cold, chilled, so. If it's summer and 40 degrees outside, of course it must be chilled.
Okay.
But if it's the winter time and it's cold outside, then you are in the front of the fireplace, why not to drink when it will be 15 degrees or 12? It's okay. It depends on the... There's no rules. I don't know.
Manel, is... There's no rules, but?
Only chilled in summertime, and like now, like 15 Celsius degrees, it's okay.
So it could be a little warmer now. In the summer, you want it cold.
Yes.
Deborah, Kim?
I vote cold.
You vote cold?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the winter in front of a fireplace?
Yes, cold. Yes.
What about glassware? Does it matter? There's a whole obsession with glassware.
Wait, Kim disagrees with me.
Oh.
No, I don't. I don't. I agree with everything she says.
Does glassware matter?
No.
Not to me.
We're not fancy people with pet nats, right?
Of course
no.
We are.
Okay. All right, so staying in that vein, do they age well? What temperature? Let's talk about pet nats being a food-friendly wine. One, are pet nats food friendly? And let's talk about food pairings. Everyone says champagne and oysters. What to you are classic pet nat and food pairings? What's complimentary? Does anything come to mind?
Of course, for us, we have also the heavy wines in Georgia, which are macerated on the skins and stems for 8 months, and they are heavy and high alcohol. Nobody wants to drink in our country, pet nut, in the winter. Yeah, it's maybe in the Christmas time. In the summer, vegetables, fruits, you know, not heavy food.
Okay.
But not fat cheese.
Not fatty cheeses, or
no.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Manel, what do you see as?
Well, in my area, we stay in the Cava region, it's easy to open bubbles daily. And if you come to the winery, we will have cheese and charcuterie, because it's easy to have, but we eat paella with a lot of things in Spain, tapas, chorizo, always with bubbles. We like a lot in our area.
So it's pretty versatile. But charcuterie and cheese comes up often,
yeah.
You know, I see. Deborah, Kim,
go ahead.
What do you see as great food pairings?
Goes shamelessly well with everything, in part because you can make your blends out of whatever wines you choose. We have, we do lots of little sort of bottlings. This one is 100% Gewürztraminer. We also have one that is a blend of Grüner Veltliner, Gewürztraminer, and Chardonnay. So it's a really dense, heavy wine, and the bubbles give it a lift and a brightness. So having it with any kind of food, it's a joy, because the earthy richness that is sort of inherent in the grape blends, you know, it gives you a lot of density to go with all kinds of foods. And I would just like to say, we did do a winemaker's dinner at a restaurant in Washington, D.C., where they did an amazing pairing with our extended skin contact Gewürztraminer with turnip ravioli with brown butter and cashews. That was
perfect.
A show-stopping.
Perfect, right?
So I would like to add,
pizza.
And it's kind of been said, but if you're in a restaurant and everybody's going to get something different, there's nothing better than to have a pet nat. It's like our appetizer, because it works well with so many foods, and also, again, you're getting away from people's expectations about what goes with what.
So right now we're up to the Bloomer Creek pet nat, right? Okay. That's what you're drinking, and before that we tasted Becca's wines. The Chinori. Did we pour all three, the Takaveri and the Saparavi?
Yeah.
No. We did. Okay, so those were 1, 2, and 3. This is 4. And before you leave, you will try Manel's Clolenticus, the Gentleman, the Sumel Extreme, which we'll talk about. We're going to take a few questions in a couple of minutes, but a couple more questions. It's hard not to get around this question, that pet nat is a thing or a fad or it's now. I have a feeling that you guys would resent the question to some extent, but is it here to stay? You know, why is it a thing right now? What do you think about what's going on, you know, with pet nats? Kim and Deborah?
You want to let her rip? You want me to?
You let her
rip. I think it's part of the natural wine movement, and I don't think it will go away. So I think they're... broad audience appeal in a way that many still wines do not have. I think they can be made very affordably, and I think it will remain on the market.
Manel?
I think it's a part of the food revolution, because the young people can do for himself his first wines, trying to make a pet nat. For to do a sparkling wine, it's more complicated. But don't forget it, but the pet nat is very old, like the champagne. Begins in Clairet Didier, Blanquet de Limoux in France. This was the first bottle, first sparkling
before,
wines.
Before champagne.
Right. But it's with more risk.
It's method, ancestral.
Ancestral.
You know,
it's
champagne
method.
And all of
right.
That.
It's the ancestral method. And this method is has more risk than the method champenoise. This is one of the things that the big industry forget it, the ancestral method.
Right. Becca, you have any feelings? I mean, pet nat is definitely a thing right now.
It's the young, young generation, you know. They like bubbles, they like sweetness, they like aromas, they like the nice bottle, you know. I think it's it has a very quite good future.
Here to stay. That's a good thing to hear. I think everyone should, if you have a good local wine store, you're in and out of a restaurant, and they're not carrying pet gnats, you should ask them, you know, to bring in a few. You know, if you push, enough people push, the restaurants will carry them. There are certain restaurants all over New York, all over the world, that are huge fans and carry, you know, a whole bunch of them, but not everywhere. So I think with makers like this that are so dedicated, there's great product out there, and I think we need to get more in the stores and the restaurants. All right, do you guys have any questions? We definitely will field questions to each and everybody.
How do you select the grape that you're going to your pet? Do you run it specifically, or are you kind of seeing it as your
Did you hear?
The acidity is very important. Maybe you must harvest it more early than usually you are harvesting for the winemaking. Or when, in my experience, when the soils are natural, my vineyard is biodynamic. And anyhow, if you have a high sugar of the grapes, the acidity is quite well, quite high. But it's very important to have a high acidity, I think.
Anyone else want to grab?
Good acidity and the sugar is not so much with a regular level of sugar.
Okay. Deborah, Kim, anything to that? Okay. Other questions?
I did have an answer, but I can't
go ahead.
I was distracted by the wine.
Okay.
Determine what grapes to use? Oh, boy. I'll just say for us, it's wide open. We use all different grape varieties. We're still working it out. There's a lot of things. Excessive ripeness is not a problem in the Finger Lakes. Acidity is not a problem. But in making a pet gnat, one can balance a certain over-ripeness with bubbles. It gives lift to sort of dull wines. I'll just say it's wide open. For us, we don't grow grapes specifically to make pet gnats. Although we will sometimes let grapes hang in the fall very late and pick them at very high sugar content, and that gives us material for sweetening other wines to add sugar back to other wines. And so we're making blends that at times are very complex blends. So we're making very complex blends from late harvested grapes that were picked specifically to make pet gnat.
Manel, how many different grape varieties are you using to make pet gnats?
Well, we are working with six different varieties.
Six different varieties?
Malvasia, Aparellada, Muscat d'Alexandria, Sumoy, Charello. We are working with our local grapes.
And Becca, there are so many varieties where you are.
I have 14 varieties in my vineyard.
But what about making the pet gnats?
I'm using now only four, but I think there is no rules.
Can that change?
You can do anything what you want.
Do you ever get intrigued to try another grape or possibly grow it for a pet gnat?
I don't know. We will see.
We'll see. Okay.
My children will plant the new vineyard. It's enough for me.
You're done. Okay. Any other questions?
The same wine. It must be the pet gnat.
In my case, we fill a little bit more, and the liquid we are losing finally is the right size in the bottle.
Now, Becca,
we have some varieties, for example, Saperavi. It has a lot of lace. When you are
a lot of what?
Lace. When we are making the degradation of the Saperavi, I lose around 35%. For Chinuri, you test the white one. It's 2.5%. It means that from 100 bottles of Degordage, you are losing some 2-3 bottles. For Saperavi, 40 bottles. for top query, 15 bottles. It depends also on variety of the grape for me. It's not so small list that you can fill it in the top and then you are getting in a good level. You must. We are adding from the same another bottle and top it. By hand, of course, it's not.
All right, so the last wine that we're tasting that was poured is Manel's Clos Lenticus Gentleman Sumal Extreme 2012. So this is the PetNat you're drinking that has bottle age. So tell me a little about this PetNat.
Well, this one was our one of the old vineyards, because all of my wines, it's made for only one vineyard. And was one of the first harvests we did the PetNat. And we decide to age a little bit more to know what happens. And we are very, very happy to know if you age in a PetNat, is like a Méthode Champenois. The same leaves are working and taking care about the wine at the moment you decide to degorge. And his example, not only the PetNats must be young drinks, you can PetNats very, very old and more.
Okay, so are you going to make more aged PetNats?
We are aging minimum 2 years and a half.
Okay,
minimum.
Okay. Any other questions?
Anybody? Tell you something? What I'm doing with the PetNat leaves, I'm also, for fun, I'm brewing beer from the old variety of the barley in my place, and I'm using the leaves of the PetNat as a yeast for the beer. And the beer is coming very, very non-standard. Well, it goes to PetNat, but it's not PetNat. It's not a beer, you know. And people are drinking, and what is this? Wow!
So that Lee's yeast has that much effect on the character.
PetNat yeasts are doing their job there, and the yeasts are doing always job everywhere. In the wine, aromas are yeasts.
That's interesting. Have you made any yet, or you're in the process of making?
Yeah, I'm made it.
It's available?
It's available slowly, yeah. It will be here okay. In your market, too.
Yeah, I would figure that. Lastly, what makes a PetNat so drinkable and enjoyable? Is it fair to say low alcohol, you know, makes it drinkable? I mean, PetNats are low alcohol compared to a lot of wines. Do you agree?
It's like a soft drink. It's in summertime.
Soft drink.
Yeah.
Okay. Deborah.
Well, I have to say sorry, but it kind of like is like what makes it fun to look at a cloud. I mean, it just is. It's delicious. So
okay. Okay. PetNats do have less bubbles than other sparkling wines. Is that fair to say?
No. Why?
It doesn't have to.
But no. Generally?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. But it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
We can make as many bubbles as we want at our own risk.
Okay.
As he was explaining it. It can be explosive, but it depends on what the residual sugar is when you put your closure on.
Right.
You must work then with the combination and the clothes or everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Be sure that you will live next morning. Huh?
Now, what about complexity and depth? How do you control the complexity and depth of your...
Complexity and depth, what do you mean?
How complex you can make the wine, the depth, is that the grape, is that the winemaking, is that the cellar, is that...
Yeah, of course, you need the cellar, you need the very cool place, you need the tunnel, you need the good vineyard, you need the... good variety of the grape, good acidity.
I guess the question is how much of that is in the winemaking, in the cellar, when you make the wine? How do you affect the wine in the cellar? There's no intervention, right?
Yeah, no, nothing.
No, but you need a cool place to work, cold place to work.
Clean.
Yes, clean.
So with PetNats, like anything,
but
the environment...
you need the same as for another wine, I think.
And it's also what you start with. Grapes that you start with.
Well, as always, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
For PetNats, it's more easy to keep them aromatic because they are very quickly closed. Oxygen doesn't go inside and doesn't damage your when you have a wines, for example, me in clay barrels, you know.
Right, there's air.
You must take a lot of care of it, you know, and it's not so easy because yeasts are working there. When the pressure in the pet nut bottle will go more than 6 atmosphere, yeasts are dying. And then nothing will happen in your wine. You are more secure. It's easy.
Got it. Any other questions? Any other questions about PetNat? Here's your last shot to talk to the experts. Okay. All right. We're going to wrap everything up. Thank you, everybody, for attending. I want to thank Becca Goetzadze from Goetze Winery in Georgia. I want to thank Manella Vino from Close Lenticus. Close Lenticus is in Spain. Where exactly? Penedes or?
It's Penedes.
Penedes, okay. And Deborah Birmingham and Kim Engel from Bloomer Creek in the Finger Lakes in Hester?
Hector.
I got it close. Thank you guys for joining us, and thank you everybody for coming in.